Happy Tuesday, and welcome to A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and each year about this time, for the last decade, I've cautioned against wishing happiness for recent graduates, because I know that that's the easy go-to thing, is to say congratulations, and we wish you happiness, go out into the world and do your best. But I caution against these wishes of happiness for our graduates, because it's not a goal. Happiness is not a destination. It's not even a tangible aspiration. It's actually a feeling, an emotional state that is but the byproduct of something that is happening in our life at the time. Happiness is also fleeting. You know, we can work tirelessly to achieve some level of happiness, but then as soon as we get there, our hedonistic adaptation skills create this moment of boredom soon after, which requires us to continuously start looking for new ways to be happy. And so this idea that we can get to happiness and stay there is actually more of a setup for long-term sense of depression or anxiety or disappointment in life. Because if we're told that our only real goal in life or our only real job in life is to achieve happiness or to feel happy, and we don't achieve that sense of happiness and well-being, then have we failed at life? And our message to our young people then is that if you are not happy, you have somehow failed us and society and yourself. And so instead of putting the burden on this idea of happiness, that fleeting emotion, on young people, and instead of making this their life's mission, something that they are ultimately going to be set up to fail, instead of happiness, I encourage you to wish for your graduates resilience, especially in today's world. Wish for your students resilience, the capacity to bounce back when faced with adversity or trauma or loss or disappointment. Resilience itself is a skill that is developed over time, and it actually gets stronger each time we face an adversity or challenge or a setback. And if we learn to persevere, our intent experience of resiliency actually gets stronger. But unless we exercise resiliency, it's a skill set that we won't develop. We have to learn to actually seek out experiences that challenge us so that we can develop those resiliency skills. And we want our children to feel those skill sets more so when they're ready to graduate and go out into the world than ever before. Because life is tough. Life is tough at the best of times. And so when you are wishing things for your graduate, wish for them the capacity to bounce back, to be resilient, to be curious, to experience and notice joy when they feel it, and to be curious about life and every opportunity. Encourage your graduates to nurture relationships that will give them a sense of grounding and comfort and meaning in their lives. For my students each year at Cal Poly, I encourage them to make sure that they are present for their life, the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful. Be present and don't numb out. Don't go to sleep, even though our society can feel overwhelming, even though you're encouraged to Netflix and to numb out with alcohol, when you are encouraged to just turn off things that feel negative. I encourage my students to lean in with their experiences, to feel what is happening, to recognize that their life is going on around them, and also to pay attention to what is happening politically, socially, economically, and environmentally at the time of their graduation. Because what is happening at the time of our graduation is going to influence the entirety of the trajectory of your lives. So in light of what is happening in the world today, I wanted to go ahead and check in with four of my graduating Cal Poly seniors, four students that I've had the pleasure of teaching over the last few years. And I wanted to talk to them about how they're feeling as they face their futures. How are they preparing for, anticipating, and hoping that their paths may lead them? And because they've all taken classes with me, they've all heard this speech before. They all have heard my comments about happiness. They've all been preparing themselves and growing their resiliency skills. I know that they all have done the hard work of staying awake and participating in their life. And so I thought this class of 2020, this group of students in the class of 2020, would be a great representation of the people, the young people that we are sending out into the world today. So I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And we will open the phones later this hour, but I really want to make room for my students to talk and share their experiences. But you can participate by following us on Instagram, Elizabeth_TRT. You can also leave messages on our Facebook page, Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. If you would like to share this show, you can podcast our shows by visiting Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast information, and look for A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist and subscribe, and our show will be uploaded for your listening convenience. And if you'd like to check out the last 10 years of conversations, you can visit kcbx.org, and all of the shows are there for you to peruse. But for today, I'm going to be giving voice to the class of 2020 and letting them guide us through the next hour. So you're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. We'll be back in a moment to start our conversation. Now,
enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they've faded. But trust me, in 20 years, you'll look back at photos of yourself and recall in a way you can't grasp now how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really looked. You are not as fat as you imagine. Don't worry about the future, or worry, but know that worrying is as effective as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubble gum. The real troubles in your life are apt to be things that never crossed your worried mind, the kind that blindsides you at 4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday. Do one thing every day that scares you. Sing. Don't be reckless with other people's hearts. Don't put up with people who are reckless with yours. Floss. Don't waste your time on jealousy. Sometimes you're ahead, sometimes you're behind. The race is long, and in the end, it's only with yourself.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with the Reluctant Therapist. And if you've been around as long as I have, you'll recognize that that is the sunscreen song that has been played at graduations for the last 20 years. I don't know if any of my guests have heard that before, but they are four of my students from Cal Poly, Christine Sandoval, Bailey Buchanan, David Guidel, and Mariah Kate Alviso Sainz. And I want to get a chance to talk with each of you individually first about where you are right now and how you're feeling as you face graduation. So, Mariah Kate, why don't you tell us a little bit about your journey at Poly and what you think you're graduating into?
Yeah, so I'm a fifth year graduating senior. I'm getting my degree in child development, but I switched to that at the start of my fourth year from landscape architecture. So my college experience has been interesting and overwhelming and great and horrible and, you know, all the things. As for going into the world right now, I think that we could all probably agree it's a less than ideal time to be graduating and stepping into the unknown. But I've been thinking about it, and I also think that it's kind of apropos that things are so crazy, because the uncertainty that we're facing is matched by the nature of us going out into the world, into the unknown, if that makes sense. I have had anxiety for my whole life, and I have been trying to reflect on the end of my college experience where that heightened. And I feel like I've learned that anxiety just is, you know, something that's taught me that I can be resilient. You know, like you were saying, how resilience is one of the best things that you can learn. I feel like it has taught me that, because I've, you know, had moments where I'm like, oh, I'm not getting through this. And then I wake up the next day and I'm here. And I think that life is going to be a few more of those. And I'm learning to not be scared. I'm learning to not be fearful of those things, because I do make it through. I do always wake up in the morning again. You know, I get past it. And so I'm trying to just embrace it rather than shy away and not be there, and just, you know, understand that things are going to be hard and that that's okay. And then that's what makes us human and helps us grow to be stronger and better human beings.
Is the process of graduating what you expected? I mean, aside from not having the ceremony, do you feel like you thought you would at this moment?
No, I don't. I feel not much, honestly. I don't know if that will hit me later. I think that with everything that's happened the last week with the Black Lives Matter movement, my graduation has felt insignificant paired up against that. And I know that it's not. I know that I will look back on it and I will know that this is a great accomplishment for me. I'm a first generation college student. You know, it's a big deal and I'm proud of myself, but I also know that it is not the highest priority at the moment and that my energy is better spent somewhere else than celebrating my own achievements currently, and that there will be time for that. But right now that is not what my priority is. So
where are you putting your energy right now?
Putting my last bit of energy into finishing up my last bit of school and also trying to educate myself about what's going on in the world. You know, trying to go out and show up when I can, reading books, watching documentaries, having tough conversations with family members who do not think the way that I do, and trying to understand them better and trying to help them understand me better. Just talking to my friends who do understand the things that I understand and work with them to find better strategies on how to speak to different people and ideas on what we can do and pulling money to make donations and just, you know, doing the small part that I can as an individual in this movement and trying to constantly humble myself and remember that I have so much to learn and there's so much room to grow and that I need to learn how to be kinder to people who don't see the world the way that I see it. It's really hard.
It's interesting, isn't it, that the closer you get to graduating, the less you think you've learned.
Yes, that's very true. Yes. And I love that though. You know, I think that I feel like that's what I'm supposed to have learned at this point, that I haven't learned much. I think that at first that scared the hell out of me. I was like, oh, like I'm going into the world and I'm supposed to have all these skills. And I just feel like the world is opening up and I'm going to have to take in even more information than I have in the last 5 years.
I think that's one of the beautiful things about an education is that it educates us to how little we know and gives us the tools to gain more knowledge. More than anything, the things you've learned in the last 4 years are really just how to continue learning. Thank you, Mariah Kate, for starting us off today. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and I've invited four of my graduating seniors from Cal Poly to come in and talk about what it's like to be graduating into the world that we are experiencing right now. My next guest is Bailey Buchanan. Hi, Bailey. Thank you for joining me today. And it's the same question to you. What was your journey here at Poly? What are you graduating with, and how does it feel to be entering into the world at this moment?
Well, it feels like a challenge I really never saw coming. Obviously, none of us saw this coming. I've been kind of struggling with the idea of graduation recently because I think it's not just to celebrate ourselves, but like for our families to celebrate with us and feel like almost a cleanse and like maybe a cleansing way to like leave your school life behind and enter into a new world. And, I more feel that for my parents, for my mother, and for, you know, she got emotional on the phone with me yesterday, like, oh, my baby's graduating. And, you know, that broke my heart. And that, along with building resilience, has been quite an interesting experience, trying to maintain that through everything going on. Also, just seeing what's going on with the world with, you know, COVID-19. I actually contracted COVID-19 on spring break. Didn't know it until later on. My mother had symptoms, and so there was that. You know, never thought I would get COVID-19, but here we are. So I'm just trying my best to roll the punches and get through graduation and figure out my next steps, basically, because some of my next steps have kind of been shifted with my worldview. So,
and so tell me a couple of your dreams and a couple of your fears. And you can start either way.
Well, I'm fearing the unknown right now because I don't really have a plan after the summer quite yet. Still kind of thinking on my feet about that, still trying to make things work. Mostly fearing, like, I don't know. I think maybe a second wave of Corona or COVID-19, or maybe fearing, you know, not landing, or at least, you know, half landing as an adult, you know, into the quote unquote real world. Like, I don't want to fall on my face, basically, because I feel like Cal Poly pretty much prepared us to do well. And it feels like a fear to not live up to that, even though we're at a different level of expectation, it feels. But some dreams are either, like, basically to figure out what I'd like to do in the next steps, and whether that be in health psychology or whether that be in cognitive psychology, because that's my major. I'm a psychology major. I'm not quite sure yet. I just hope to find some sort of solace and resilience out of this and come out way on top, because it's been a little bit low lately.
Yeah, I would imagine. And it's interesting because with the Black Lives Matter movement that's clearly overtaken and overshadowed everything, in some ways we've forgotten that the pandemic exists. And so unless it hits your household like it did for you, I think for most of us, that feels like a secondary story as well. But when it comes into your home, that reality that it's still happening has got to be really terrifying.
Yes, definitely. It's actually kind of interesting because I'm in multicultural psychology at the moment, while the Black Lives Matters movement is thriving. I would say it's exploding right now. And I'm also in a metabolism class, a nutrition class at the moment. So thinking about health and COVID-19 and Black Lives Matter and, you know, racial injustices together has been a very strong theme. And, you know, just trying to keep further educating myself and educating family members, friends, anyone, just trying to bring attention to good resources. That's kind of just been what this whole quarter has been about.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Bailey. And Christine, I'm going to jump to you if you're ready and ask you the same question. This is Christine Sandoval. And Christine, what are some of your hopes and fears and dreams moving forward? And what has Cal Poly prepared you to do?
Well, I guess, yeah, some of my fears are just kind of also fear of the unknown and not finding a job right now, because I am financially responsible for myself and trying to figure that out. And just how is that going to play into my career? But some dreams that I have is just finding a good job. A job that'll pay well with my degree. I feel like Cal Poly has really, it's taught me a lot, and I really appreciate my college experience all throughout. I've loved most of it, and, you know, had some, some bad times in some of it. And I'm also a graduating fifth year, and my fourth year didn't go so well at all, but I feel like this year went better, and then this kind of, all of this happened. So I don't know. It's just been like up and down, and I feel like in some ways that's kind of prepared me for life. I feel like it's just going to be a constant roller coaster from now on.
And where do you think you want to apply your energies right now? Where are you feeling pulled?
Well, I'm feeling torn because in this past week too, with the Black Lives Matter movement, I feel like, you know, I should be doing more. What else can I do? And I don't have money to really donate. So I looked at some resources like on YouTube, how there's ways to do, just to look at a video and the ad revenue will build up and they'll donate for me. Or right now I'm actually in San Luis Obispo with my sister, and she was really sick during all of this. And so I'm trying to, it's hard because like I would like to go out and protest, but I'm afraid she's going to get sick again if I bring something back, and both of us, you know, like to go, but yeah, she had pneumonia and it got pretty bad. And then also just like trying to finish school. That has been a struggle. I just feel like being at home has really made me lose a lot of academic focus, and I've just really like not wanted to do it. And I feel, you know, it has really felt good on me mentally.
So in some ways you've kind of lost the joy of your accomplishments.
Yeah, exactly. And so I feel like graduating, it's like, yeah, I'm finally done with school, but you know, I don't really get to feel that, I don't know, sense of just complete.
Mm-hmm. That ritual transformation that's so important with going through the ceremony itself. And yeah. I think that's one of the things that makes it so important that we all find a way to have that ceremonial experience. Otherwise, you really are kind of stopped before you get to the finish line. And you're also a first gen student as well. So what is this accomplishment for the family?
It's a big one.
It was a big question too.
Yeah. It is definitely a really big one. I feel like in a lot of ways, it's not just my own degree. It's like a degree for my family, and it means a lot. And so it just kind of feels like in a way celebrating it has been kind of taken away, but then also like, you know, it's in some ways it's like it's not that much of a priority because of everything going on, but my mom is also just trying to find a way to still celebrate it and honor this accomplishment. And so yeah, in a lot of ways it's like it's not just about me here,
but it's still emotional because it's a big, and when you talk about representing more than just your own accomplishment, it is for your community and for your family. Mm-hmm. And it's hard because we feel like we're not justified in joy. And I think that's the challenge of this moment is, can we still allow ourselves some joy, even though we still want to be on the street protesting and have our voice be heard? How do we balance that? Where do we find the peace for joy?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And I have asked four of my students from Cal Poly to come in and talk about their experience graduating here in 2020, right at this moment in history. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, you know, what is going on politically, economically, socially, at the time that you graduate, launch into the world, greatly impacts the trajectory of your life moving forward. Imagine those students who graduated in 1964 into a world of the newly emerging civil rights movement and the feminist movement and the environmental rights movement and how much disruption there was and uncertainty in the world. For those students who graduated right into the Depression in the 1930s, or for those students who graduated right into the Vietnam War or to World War II, each generation is impacted, influenced, and shaped by what's happening in the world around them at the moment they enter out into the world. So I wanted to hear the perspective of my students. I'm going to finish up the introductory statements by going to David Goodiel. How'd I do, David? After 4 years of knowing you.
Hi, everyone. My name is David Goodiel. I'm a fifth year. I'm from San Diego. My college experience has been a roller coaster, to say the least. So I started off as ag scientist my first year. And then my second year, I switched to biology. And then my third year, I switched to psychology. And then my fourth year, I added my double major with ethnic studies. Honestly, like, I mean, you brought up something very important. You brought up like the ritual part. Like, I think that I've been really trying to grasp how to make a ritual for myself. When it comes to the aspect of graduating and the degree, like, I resonate a lot with my peers that, you know, it means a lot to our families and stuff. But I think, at least, I don't know, I feel like I took family psychology with you, professor, in winter. And I think that class prepared me so much for this pandemic because, like, I learned how, like, I just really learned how connected we all are together. If anything that COVID has taught me, it's that we're all connected in one way. Like, someone's health affects another person's health, so you should always want what's best for everyone, which leads to the conversation of liberation. And right now, we're dealing with a huge civil rights movement. And like, I don't know. I mean, I've been out on the protests, I've been out on the streets, and then I just think about what more else can I do? And I think about what my role in the revolution is. And there's like a social change ecosystem diagram that I saw. And I think for me, my role in the revolution is bringing joy and being a healer. Like, I think that for me, I want to process with people. I love having dialogues with people, and I love creating that solidarity. And, you know, helping relations class really taught me how to hold space. And I realized I love that. But I think for my family, they're sad. Like, they're just like, oh my goodness, like, we're not going to get to see you. But I'm like, mom, like, this education system is rigged. It's classes. It's elitist. It's made for people with money. Like, why are we celebrating that I just got a paper? Like, what matters is the work that we do and the lives that we impact. So for me, I feel like my degree is not going to be worth anything if I don't help the people that I represent, the people that are in chains and need, like, you know, that, like, we're fighting for their liberation. So for me, I'm just like, this degree is just the start of it. And yes, there's these issues of like financial stability after graduation and meeting the, I got my degree, I get my job. But at the end of the day, I'm kind of like, I just went through 16 years of like rigorous school. I just went through like this power dynamic that the educator deposits information and I just listen. And it's more about breaking away from that and realizing like, I am the teacher and I am the learner of my life. And what do I want to, you know, share with people? What do I want to build with people? So I think that's where kind of I'm stuck right now. It's like, where do I go to help? Where do I go to, like, you know, who needs a processing talk? Who needs those educational talks? And I think my hopes have been geared more towards education. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. Like, it's a little bit sad. It's a little bit fun. I'm not going to lie, being home all day makes me feel like a little kid again. And I get to, like, do so much more things. I get to practice my yoga more. I've been teaching online yoga on class and, like, on Zoom. So that's been fun. But yeah, it's not kind of about me. Like, you know, ups and downs, but it's an experience. And I think that I just embrace the experience. And when a feeling comes up, it's important to talk about the feeling. It's important to, you know, diffuse that energy. Like, I think you always talk about, you know, when we have energy in the body, like, we have to move it out of the body, whether it's through talking, crying, dancing, singing. So I just try to find my space with that. And I just, like, you know, healing myself and creating balance with myself.
2 years ago, was it 3 years ago when we first met? We wouldn't have had this conversation. You're a different man. So what are a couple things that you experienced that brought you to this lighter stage? Because I know you, no one else does, but the lightness in your voice is much different. It's like you've traversed through some hell and you're able to dance a little bit on top of it.
Yes, that's definitely a way to describe it. I think what got me into this like state or practice of mindfulness, you know, cause like you mentioned, like happiness is not a destination, it's a direction, you know, so that's kind of how I view it. But I think it started with, you made us do like practice a goal with ourselves. And I think my goal was to meditate. Like at first it was just like, I just want to meditate. Like I need to sit in silence. And I think that's what really called me to center myself. I think that, you know, my generation and things like that were very, not by choice, but we're plugged into technology in most of the cases. And we don't really get a break sometimes. And we always seem to be available to people. And I think meditation is the first thing that taught me to sit silent. But I was met with so much uncomfortableness. I hated it. I hated sitting there by myself. It made me so uncomfortable. It made my stomach like a pit. But then I realized that I have to sit with that. And like a feeling, it comes and it goes. And it's based on relativity. It's based on what my environment is like. It's based on what I think about my environment. And I just think that psychology has taught me that we can reprogram our brain in different ways, which makes me think of myself as like an alchemist. Like I can change the way I think about things, which changes my feelings. So let's get to that. Let's see what I need to process and like dig deeper with myself. So I think really checking in with myself was something that you encouraged, but I just kind of had to grapple with it and learn that it's a process of healing. And sometimes hurting hurts, like healing hurts, and that's okay, but that's part of the process. And there's no way out but through. And sometimes it's not black or white, it's shades of gray. You have to like name that for yourself and be okay with that. So yeah, that's just how I feel about that. Like I think mindfulness and checking in and learning to face the uncomfortable was some of the few steps that got me here.
Yeah, and you also lived in some states of dissonance and huge despair. And each of you, you know, have had experiences in the time that I've known you that have kind of dragged you through experiences that I don't think you were prepared for. But in some ways, it's a blessing to hit those life-altering experiences before you kind of leave the bubble of your college education and you go out into the world as educators. If you're just tuning in, this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. My guests today are four Cal Poly students that are on the verge of graduating. They are the class of 2020. And I'm so proud of who they are becoming that I wanted to share some of their stories with you. And we are going to take a quick break, but we're going to come back and kind of open up a round table with all the students so they can exchange ideas. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. We'll be back in a minute to continue our conversation.
Who doesn't know what I'm talking about? Who's never left home? Who's never struck out to find a dream and a life of their own? A place in the clouds, a foundation of stone. Many precede and many will follow. A young girl's dreams no longer hollow. It takes the shape of
I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And my guests today are David, Bailey, Mariah, Kate, and Christine, graduates, I guess, on the verge of graduation. We can't say until you've moved that tassel from one side to the other that you actually are graduates with your undergraduate degrees from Cal Poly. And it's a prestigious degree to take out into the world. But the world you're stepping out into is probably not the place you anticipated when you started your education. So I'd like to throw it out to you as a group and what's kind of resonating for you as you've heard each other's stories today. You know, David always has something that he can throw in there. Don't be shy. This is your moment. What, you know, because as I said earlier, you know, for every generation, what you graduate into, the world you graduate into is going to impact the trajectory of your life economically, socially, environmentally, politically. And so if you look at what's happening right now, you're not just having one thing, you're having a political revolution, you're experiencing environmental revolution, you're experiencing economic revolution. And each of you talked about one of these areas, you know, David, for the political piece and finding also that personal center of self. And Christine, you mentioned a few times the economic piece of it and the opportunity for work. And for Mariah Cage, you know, you talked about the political and the opportunities to kind of find your way. And Bailey, we didn't get to talk much about it, but I know that the environmental climate change and the health piece is big for you. So given that you have no lived experience of what those graduating into the 1960s had, you must have some sense of what you're graduating into and what do you think you're going to be facing?
I think it's important to recognize that we are in a time like that. I think that because we haven't lived through something like this before, it would be easy to not see it for what it is. I was talking to my grandmother about this and how she has the two to compare with. And I was asking her, does it feel different? And she said, yes, it does. It feels very different. There's not like one distinctive leader. It's all of us and it feels bigger. And I think that just recognizing that we are in it, that this is the equivalent to something like that, is huge. And that we don't have to wonder what would I have done back in the civil rights movement. We get to be that. We get to do that today. We get to be the person that we would have wanted to be back then. We get to influence change on a higher level, which is a huge responsibility and an unbelievable blessing and so crazy. And I feel like I don't even, it hasn't really fully registered, but it's registered enough to know that it's big and that I want to be a part of it and that I want to be doing something about it. And I feel, yeah, like honored and scared and a lot of mixed emotions regarding that.
I've often wondered if people who were, you know, marching with Martin Luther King or had lived through the Vietnam War protests or even lived through the Depression, or like, just think of all of these monuments, if the people as they were living through it in real time, as each of you are, did they have an idea of the historic nature of it? Because one of the things that feels interesting is that everyone is noticing the historic nature of what's happening. But I also feel like a lot of people are looking around for a guide or a beacon or a light. And I'm wondering, you know, what that is for each, or have you found a path with this?
I feel like something that Mariah had mentioned was that, you know, there's not one distinctive view. There's a lot of us that are just doing it, I think, kind of connects to finding that light. I think it's about, you know, not being a life raft, but being a lighthouse and being like, you know, taking care of yourself and educating yourself and spreading that with other people. Because I think that the way that history is shaped specifically is to make us believe that change and action comes from one leader, one person that does all this trickle-down effect, systematic change. But that's not the case. It's everyday people like us, like the listeners, you know, that and students that just change. You know, we change in our daily actions of our lives. And that's what's going to bring, you know, transformative change. But it takes all of us together, holding each other accountable, you know, learning to be okay when we're uncomfortable and moving past that together. And at the end of the day, kind of like loving each other through it, you know? That's how what I think about it, that it's really about getting everyone on that same page of like, you have your way of changing that's going to create a positive change in your front, and I have my front on this side. So we're going to work together, support each other, but we're in this fight together.
Do you feel like, though, David, that there is a uniformed understanding for the one third of you that have had the privilege of getting college degrees? Because only a third of our country gets college degrees. So do you feel a privilege or an extra sense of pressure to utilize this education in a certain way? I mean, are you the designated leaders?
I feel like to place educated people as the designated leaders, it creates like a power dynamic that you must have a degree to make change. And that's not true, because that's kind of like a form of oppression.
That's fair.
People like embodied knowledge and cultural knowledge is a very valid thing that brings resistance that has been going through so many colonial projects of like modern day countries. So I think that it's like, and the people that do get an education also don't always get the same education, because there's universities like Cal Poly that don't require people to take ethnic studies classes in their GE. And that's like something to make note of. You know, the way that the College of Engineering is not sometimes pressed to think outside of their own ways and disciplines. And at the end of the day, it's really creating like this intersectionality of disciplines to approach certain problems, to create different solutions, and not thinking in just one-minded sense. I think that we're shaped in college to think you got your degree in this field, so you can only speak on this field, when in reality, you're a whole person who studied a field, but you still have other embodied knowledge that supports that and can be expressed in different ways.
Christine, what do you think? Bailey, what do you think?
Christine can go. I was just going to say really quick what David was talking about with our different experiences in education. Lately, I've been thinking a lot about some things that have just gone on, like with our lives as our generation who were graduating. I mean, hello, some of our first experiences was 9/11. Mm-hmm. We had a war in the Middle East. So many things have gone on and changed for our generation, I think. And we don't know how that's going to turn out. And that's our decision, and our it relies on our action. And I really, really see a shift, especially in my peers, on this Black Lives Matters movement. Before this, a lot of people who are not so vocal are trying to become vocal, trying to educate. And I think that's so important. And recently, I've just been really thinking a lot about some incidents that have gone on at Cal Poly in the past, too, that have seem to, in my mind, in my own experience, kind of built up along with this movement and to this peak that we're reaching. Hopefully we can extend this peak and then we don't go down though.
So it feels like for you in your trajectory from through your childhood to now, it has been a series of traumatic experiences starting with 9/11. And, you know, you've heard a message of climate devastation or climate change your entire childhood, which no other generation has experienced. And that must feel, you know, in some ways, you are the most traumatized generation we've ever raised. So inherent is this capacity to keep bouncing back. The resiliency lives in all of you. And ironically, you're the most educated, the most well-traveled, the most compassionate. You've heard these statistics before, that this generation has more of the gifts and more of the trauma of any generation prior. Christine, what are you thinking?
I guess I've just been thinking about how you stated how it really is a historical impact and how it'll be known for generations to come. And I think that it's great that at least like in this generation and, you know, for younger generations, everyone has the ability to show their side with the use of technology and show like actual footage of what's going on at some of these protests. Whereas in the past, it's just newspapers that are showing, you know, what has happened and how they're able to steer it in light for, you know, so certain political sides and show like, you know, all these people protesting, they're really bad, they're criminals. And like literally, if anyone has ever seen the 13th documentary on Netflix, I really recommend that for everyone to watch. But that one, it shows how like the war on crime, the war on drugs, and like how just they've criminalized Black people, and how even in today it's the prison system is just unconstitutional. Really, I don't see it any other way. But I mean, you know, it's just crazy. There's so many things to think about, and how like me going out into this climate, how like I could be a part of that, and how my career can impact that. And there's a lot of things to think about.
If you're just tuning in, this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. My guests are David, Bailey, Mariah, Kate, and Christine, students of mine at Cal Poly, who are going to be graduating this week and entering into the world to make their mark. And I've said to my classes this quarter as I was finishing that it couldn't be a more amazing time to be graduating into the world, because the opportunities are endless. You and David, I think, mentioned before, in many ways, you're being liberated out of the very narrow conveyor belt American dream that has kind of ruled the trajectory for so many generations before you, that's all blowing up, that economically that American dream path isn't as viable. And politically, it's not just this one path, that it's all exploding. But unfortunately, in order to get to this new place, you're going to have to move through the dissonance, the burn, the chaos, the change of life. And so this timing of graduating, as overwhelming as it is, in some ways is a great opportunity. And I'm wondering if you're still feeling that or if it just feels like too much. Bailey?
I just wanted to say, while you were talking about that, something just popped into my head. Something a long time ago, I remember a teacher in high school telling us that we're the guinea pigs. You know, no one else grew up with iPhones. No one else grew up with computers at their fingertips, you know, and just information just everywhere, whether that be video information during the Black Lives Matter movement, exposing things, you know, whether that be articles, whether that be circulation of education and materials, all of that. We are the only ones who've experienced this and grown up with it. And I think it's important to recognize that with that, it almost feels like globalization and, you know, expanding technology like might be breaking up our traditional senses of thought and our constructions and our institutions. And you mentioned like, you know, we're the most traumatized, but we're also the most, you know, talented on the rise. And it makes me wonder if we'll not carry this into a new focus era. I don't know, but I hope we do well by it.
A new world order. And again, I caution because I can never stop being a mom professor, is that the temptation, seduction is going to be to just be entertained by the devices, to just be seduced into watching, you know, TikTok videos or get lost in Netflix. Like, that's the seduction. It's going to take a lot of self-control and determination to utilize those devices for change and for good. Mariah Kate, what do you think about that?
About technology specifically?
Or just in general, the whole world you're stepping into?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Bailey's right. Our generation really was kind of like the first set of people to be experiencing what we're experiencing. And I do think that it probably has contributed, at least in part, to our like open-mindedness, because we've had so much information in front of us and different ideas our whole lives. And I'm sure that we'll understand later why that, like how that has really influenced us. But yeah, like moving forward into the world, I don't know. I think we have a phenomenal opportunity right now in this moment in time to not be seduced and just sit by and be entertained. We have the opportunity to utilize the tools at our disposal, whether that's just ourselves showing up or whether that's the ability to reach a larger audience on a social media platform. You know, we have so many routes to take because of the way that our world works now. And just by understanding those better and working on ourselves to understand what messages we want to put forth and taking the time to think about what we want to say and what we have to say and what our unique perspective can be. And that's what's so cool about social media, is that everybody now has a platform, and in some ways that can be annoying and kind of weird, and people don't always use it for the best ways, but it can be really powerful if people who have thought about what's going on in the world, have their own perspective to offer, want positive change, if those people are using that for good, we're going to be unstoppable. We're going to be highly influential in a better way than influencers on Instagram. You know, we're going to be real influencers, world influencers. So I'm very grateful to have that at my fingertips.
Christine, you leaned in on that one. Or David.
Christine, you want to go first?
I very much agree with what Mariah Kate had to say. And yeah, I think, you know, instead of there just being one leader that we all get to follow, there's going to be so many people that we get to follow, and all of us together, you know, they can't just pin one person down for each, for this movement. They'd have to get all of us. And so I think that with all of us together, it says a lot. We're unstoppable in that way.
It's interesting because with a device, everyone can be a journalist and everyone can be a witness and everyone can be an influencer if using it in the right way. It's just having the courage to turn your cameras on what's happening. David?
I wanted to say, like, I think Generation Z is so funny because, like, I think that for so long we were named like, oh, the snowflakes, oh, the safe spaces. And it's like, you know, you're making fun of these kids that with quotes that are need a safe space. But in what reality was like, that built dialogue and solidarity amongst so many groups of people. Because I think before that, the lack of safe spaces was a way of like oppressing and people into silence, like no one would speak on it, no one would say anything. Well, the more we did safe spaces and with social media connecting with other groups, and like Bailey mentioned, like we're starting to see like a huge bank of information that is more accessible, you know, with each passing year, that like Gen Z is now the one throwing tear canisters back at cops, and they're the ones that are flooding like all these they're shutting down racist profiles on Instagram and on Twitter. And it's like, you know, these kids that make TikToks for dances are now making TikToks about protests and doing tips and ways to support Black Lives Matter movement. So it's just so funny watching all these kids that we like always like, oh my God, we're always on our phone, but like they're actually showing up now, and it's doing way different thing than I think before. Like, I just think that I'm so proud of, like, I used to not be part of the Gen Z. I'd be like, I'm still a millennial, 1997. But now I'm like, you know, Generation Z's built different. Like, you know, we show up on social media, but we're also showing up in person in so many different ways than before. And I think that knowledge and accessibility have become huge tools in the revolution.
Are you concerned, all of you, about the impacts of COVID down the road, though? Because you are an incredibly hugging, loving, compassionate generation. You love to hug each other and be close and connected, which again is the irony of social media and everyone saying that this generation is only on their phone. But I've never been hugged more than I have by this generation of students. And are you concerned at all about what's going to change socially for you in the next few years? Or have you changed socially? Or are you just secretly running around hugging each other still?
Well, I was just going to jump in really quick and say that I personally felt COVID-19 hit really hard because I also thrive off from social contact. Like, I don't feel like a normal person unless I'm like seeing people on campus, if I'm going to school, or I learn better in person, or, you know, whatever it is. And I feel like a lot of kids maybe got depressed. I might've been one of those for a little minute there. Not just for graduation, because I was worried it was never going to be the same. I wonder if, you know, we're always going to be wearing masks to the grocery store nowadays. I don't know how that's going to change, but I really, really hope we can get as close to what we had as far as social contacts, because, like you said, Dr. Barrett, we're one of the most loving, touchy-feely, needy for attention generations.
Mm-hmm. And I worry about that. I mean, are you all feeling like you're not getting enough contact? How is your, you know, depression has risen 30% across the board. And that's not just people who have already experienced depression, but just in general, the general population, we're seeing a 30% increase. So, you know, I'd like to finish up talking about the mental health piece and how are you going to maintain that? And are you feeling like you are able to connect with people in a way that is filling you? Christine?
I feel like for a while there, I was with my boyfriend and his family. And then during the middle of shelter in place, I went back with my parents. And it was fun. And I really appreciate that they took me in. But I think when I went back with my family and was surrounded by my family, and they knew me, you know, since I was a baby, I was able to feel that sense of like the thing that I was missing. I really needed, you know, I needed my mom to hold me and tell me it was going to be okay. And I, you know, just kind of baby me. And like what Bailey said is I also thrive off of, you know, human contact and just seeing people. And I'm able to work better academically, like off of other people's minds. And I don't know. I really hope it, I hope it does go back to that. And I think that, you know, we definitely need some kind of, I don't know, something that cures COVID-19 in order for that to happen first. But we do have to respect each other and know that right now, like, we need to wear a mask and we need to make sure that everyone's safe so that we're not getting it. And that people at these protests right now for Black Lives Matter, they are wearing masks and they are, they're really close together. They're not respecting that, but they're still trying to wear the masks. And whereas people from the protests of trying to reopen America, they weren't wearing masks and they're the people that aren't. And they're not keeping us safe, you know, for people who want to be safe and keep their family members safe. So I think it's just remembering to respect someone's choice and what they need and what they want. And, I just kind of lost my train of thought.
That's okay, because I think that's where we are right now. There's so many things happening at once. To tap into one thing is challenging. So Mariah Kate, last thoughts on the mental health piece. And are you getting the emotional support that you feel you need to thrive?
It's an interesting one. I've been saying like the last 3 weeks or so that I don't feel like myself. I don't feel like a full person at the moment. I've had a lot going on personally and within the world, you know, and graduating and like you said, everything's happening all at once. It's hard to focus in on anything. And so I've definitely been struggling with my mental health, but it's more subtle. It's really interesting. It's not like a normal break of anxiety or depression that I've experienced in the past. It's, I don't know, it feels like it's on the back burner, but I didn't even mean to do it that way. It just happened that way because my present energy is so focused on what's happening right now, and there's always something to focus on. So it's been interesting. I feel like I've been getting enough social contact. I've kept my circle very small, just a few people that I see. And that's been good. You know, I've felt like I've done my part to minimize my contact, but I've also like done my part for myself to make sure that I'm going to be, you know, okay. And talking on the phone really helps for me. I'm social, but I'm not really an extrovert. I'm not as social as a lot of other people are. So I've been okay with just phone, you know, like conversations and therapy over the phone and that kind of thing. So I've been okay. And I think that a lot of other people feel similarly, where it's like, yeah, something's definitely off, but I can't even really focus on it right now. So yeah. I don't know.
No time to dip.
Yeah. And like I said, it's just with the whole graduation thing, like it's just not as significant. Like I know that I will have the time to get back to myself and that will be something that I focus on. But right now I want to put my energy into other things and, you know, make sure I'm all right. But, you know, at the end of the day, put my attention to what needs it the most.
Yeah. And it sounds like you all are taking a moment to honor the change. And I just want to thank you for coming and spending this hour with me. And I'm going to give you this momentary graduation movement. I now am sending you from undergraduate into your graduate status right here in front of me. I'm proud of you all. Move your tassel. You have proven yourself to be worthy and ready to take on the challenges of the world ahead of you. And you are going to do good things and make me proud. And I can't wait to see where the world takes you. This has been a conversation with the Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. Find me on Instagram, Elizabeth_TRT. Follow us on Facebook, podcast the show. Tell your friends to listen to previous shows. Tell your friends to get connected and to continue supporting Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. We'll be back next week.
I want to leave my footprint on the sands of time. No, there was something that meant something that I left behind. When I leave this world, I'll leave no regrets. Leave something to remember so they won't forget I was here. Done everything.